Turn then in our Bibles this afternoon back to Matthew 24 to begin with, just to get a refresh our minds from where we left off. Certainly, we're talking about the things that Christ refers to. Actually, it's the end of the end, isn't it?
It's here for us
to have an idea of what is going on in the end times, speaking specifically of those days that are shortly before the coming of the Lord. In answer to this question, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And so the Lord gives this discourse, actually in the 24th and 25th chapters of Matthew, one of the longest, I believe, if I'm not badly mistaken, is the second longest discourse that Christ has recorded for us in the what we refer to as the New Testament. But in this, one of the chief and I believe the chiefest indications of his coming has been and is that that is signified in verse 14 and 15 of this Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. And this Gospel of the kingdom, Christ says, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore, that therefore links verses 14 and 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, and so forth. And he qualifies it still further in verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, in our previous thoughts, especially in concerning verses 14 and 15, we have talked about this abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And we don't, there's always a debate again whether this abomination of desolation is a person or whether it is the spirit of Antichrist, whether it's Antichrist himself or the spirit of Antichrist. But this much we know, that when that takes place, when that abomination of desolation stands in the holy place, in other words, it takes root there where it cannot be moved. We know at that time, then, for all practical purposes, the purpose of God has been fulfilled. All acts then is for God himself to remove that abomination of desolation and usher in that everlasting kingdom, which cannot and will not ever be moved. But the question is, and this comes in, this question really is identified in verses 16 through 20, where it says, "Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day." Pray that your flight. Now, as we have studied this and meditated upon it, we have come to the conclusion with the rest of Scripture that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be, in a very great sense of the word, desolate, in desperation. And we have talked about the scriptures in the 13th chapter of the Revelation, and in chapter 7 and chapter 11 of Daniel, where we are specifically told that Satan will make war with the saints and overcome them. Now, a lot of people don't like to hear that, but again, it is the truth. And when we read such verses as we're reading in our text now, it causes us to meditate more fully upon this and to prepare for that day. But how do we prepare for that day? That's the question. Well, of course, the simple answer to that is that we pray that the Lord will increase our faith. But therein lies the, I don't want to say question, but therein lies the problem, if there is a problem. Again, I always go back to what Stephen Villiester said in we were having one of the meetings over in Ilegan City, I believe, at that time. But anyway, someone said something about it being a problem for God, and he jumped up and said, "No, not a problem for God." Well, it isn't a problem for God, but it may be a problem for us. But anyway, the problem is, what do we do? How do we prepare? And what are we to do in this time? I started to say those times, but again, I believe we're in those times. The Bible identifies those times as a short season, a little season, in which Satan is turned loose again. He has been bound, if you will, so that the gospel has been going to the Gentile nations, and God has been calling out those whom he has pleased, and in these very last days, he is finally calling out that third set, if you will, of men from the earth, and to fulfill his prophecy and his promise to take a people from every tongue and tribe and nation upon the earth. So, but what do we do? What are we, where are we found in this, the scheme of this? Well, the question arises, and this is where we'll go to Psalm chapter 11 first. The psalmist says, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. And then the question, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now that's the question. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? In Psalm 82, in verse 5, he says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. And there's many other scriptures that surely define and describe these very last days, this little season in which we find ourselves. And but the center of it all is that foundation. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Anything that is lasting has a foundation. Of course, we're reminded, of course, of the parable that the Lord sets forth when he said the man builded his house upon the sand, and the storms came, and the winds blew, and the rains, and what happened? The house collapsed. Why? Because the house, this foundation, was built upon the sand. But then the other house stood in all the wind and the rain and the storms because it was built, the foundation was built upon a rock. Now, as we look at this, first of all, we know that in essence, in reality, the foundation cannot be destroyed because the foundation is who? The foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know also that no other foundation can be laid, Paul says, than that which is laid, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. But as far as the world is concerned, that foundation can be destroyed in their hearts and in their minds. There is nothing that cannot be destroyed in the hearts and in the minds of the ungodly or in the wicked, the minds and hearts of the wicked. Looking for a verse of scripture here. I won't look for it very long, but anyway, the psalmist says in one place, well, here in Psalm, 78? In verse 14, speaking of the Israelites, it says, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, how do you limit the sovereign Almighty God? Well, the only way to limit him is in your own mind, in your own heart. The only way to destroy the foundations or the foundation is to limit God. And that's what the world, of course, has always done. And in these last times, they surely are limiting the Holy One of Israel. They're limiting God. They are destroying the foundations. Again, the writer Daniel says they seek to change times and laws. And certainly we're seeing all of that take place. Now, actually, turn with me to Zechariah chapter 4. I can get over there myself. Zechariah chapter 4, in verse 9, it says, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth." Now, what is this talking about? Now, many people will take this to mean that the foundation that he's talking about is the foundation of the temple, the earthly temple. And in a sense, that's right. When they were rebuilding the temple after the Chaldeans came and destroyed it, and they were coming back to the country. But that was just a type, really, of the spiritual foundation that was laid in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was just a type. It was a picture. But nevertheless, it was a sure foundation. In Isaiah chapter 28, and by the way, again, this is the only foundation that can be laid is that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 28, in verse 16, it says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." Now, if we go back over to our Matthew 24 text, what is that implying there? So don't come down from your housetop to take your clothes and so forth and so on. That's haste, isn't it? And yet, God's people shall not make haste. God's people will rest in Him. But they will also be hidden in Him. That's the key to it all, is to be hidden in Him. Even in the third chapter of Colossians, of course, the Apostle Paul tells us that our life is hid in who? Yeah, it's hid in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we are, though, this foundation is laid, and of course in the New Testament we are told that this foundation is the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, as making so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of what? of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So this is the foundation. This is our foundation. And that foundation cannot be moved. It cannot be destroyed. But the world, in their own mind, they have brought down God. As the psalmist says again, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. And this is what is happening. Now, some would say, well, God's just in trouble with this. He can't help it. No. In fact, it is his whole entire plan that to bring this thing to a conclusion. By all of this chaos and confusion and this enmity against him from the world. In other words, hand is going to join in hand. In other words, again, as Isaiah would put, they're going to form a confederacy. Everybody's going to get together, and that's the idea in that 13th chapter of the Revelation, that every one whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world are going to do what? They're going to worship the beast, right? They're going to worship Satan. They're going to worship the Antichrist. God is going to send a strong delusion for what purpose?
That they believe a lie.
And what is that lie? Well, essentially, that lie is, this is Christ. Not the real Christ, but they're going to say they're going to have their Christ. And, of course, that comes out in our text in Matthew 24, doesn't it? There will be many Christ, right? Many of them are going to come saying, I'm Christ. Listen to me. I'm your Savior. But he says, go not out to them. Don't go over there. If he's in the desert, don't go over there. If he's in the secret chamber, don't go over there. Don't go in there. Because as the light is shining from the east to the west, so the coming of the Lord is going to be. Now, the foundation of God is sure. This is another thing that we have to face today and that ought to comfort us. In a day when it seems like, again, that God is asleep, or as the world would like to think, God is dead. And when we are, once again, so desirous that, beginning with our loved ones, that people might be saved. And in the day when we know what the consequences are going to be, if they are not saved. But our assurance and our peace rests in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I guess we'll start in verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now, so we say, okay, passages of scripture like this, that these people that use, that believe that you can fall from grace. But when he says they overthrow the faith of some, what faith are they overthrowing? It's not the faith of Jesus Christ. It's the one that they bring forth of themselves. Yes, it's the one that they apply or say or tell you to apply. It's not saving faith. If it can be overthrown, it's not saving faith, because faith worketh by love, and love is eternal. Love is God, and we love Him because He first loved us, and you can't change that. What shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? And that's the key to it, isn't it? It's not that God loved us for ourselves, but He loved us for the sake of Jesus. He has loved us in order to honor His Son. Isn't that, it's just a wonderful thought, and a comforting and a strengthening thought. It's assurance, isn't it? He has to honor the Son. Not us, but He has to honor the Son. So, yes, these that like Hymenaeus and Philetus, they're going to overthrow the faith of some. But then Paul says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, right? Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And how long has He known it? From before the foundation of the world. But there's another way of thinking about this knowing. It means simply, again, not only does God know who they are, but God knows what they are. He knows they are His children. And then Paul says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, because this is the mark of those that have been known of God. Everyone that is of God is taught of God, right? Everyone that has known the Father is known, is taught of the Father. And they will be presented faultless, spotless, without blemish, before the throne of God. So, the foundation for God's people, the foundation of God, standeth sure. It has a seal. And that seal is the foreknowledge, or if you want, the predestination of God. He knows them that are His at His coming. He is not going to make any mistakes. It's going to be clear, very clear, that these are His because they are the ones that have departed from iniquity. But we go back again. There is going to be a conquering of the saints. He's going to make war with the saints and overcome them. We may as well then prepare for it, shouldn't we? We're seeing it right now in the diminishing of the influence of the church in the world. What influence does the church have anymore in the world? Just the opposite, isn't it? You know, it has been just a very, very short time ago when all of this anti-Christian rhetoric and actions would not have been tolerated for a moment. But not so now. They're fearless. And why not? Nobody cares. But the Lord cares, doesn't He?
There was that time when the churches in the Valley of Gabon were being attacked. So Oliver Cromwell was so interested in that that he investigated what's going on in those countries.
Nothing happening, is it? Nobody.
You get to go to Christian publications to find out.
Yes, more or less the underground, right? But we're in those times, again, when it's perfectly obvious that the foundations are being destroyed. There's nothing left to build upon. They don't want the apostles, they don't want the prophets, and they sure don't want the chief cornerstone. But nevertheless, whatever else is said, we do know that at least in the hearts and lives of God's people, the foundation is sure. Because God knows us. It's not so much that we know God, but that God knows us. Proverbs chapter 10, in verse 25, it says, "As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is as an everlasting foundation." God still has His way in the whirlwind, doesn't He? And so that foundation is sure and everlasting, and that is what we build upon. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is that rock. As we build upon this foundation,
Let us understand, though, that we do not stop with the first, well, for you that know something about building, you don't stop with laying the floor plates. Or you don't stop by marking out the rooms. Or laying the floor plates. Or you don't stop with putting up the studs. Or the top plates. And so forth and so on. You don't stop until the building is completed, do you? So it is with the church of God. He's not going to stop until the last stone is put into place. That lively stone that Peter talks about. He's not going to stop until that lively stone is in its place, that last one. This we can be assured of. And though the world rages around us, and though the world, the whole world, denies God, yet in our hearts and lives, He will be fixed. He will stand. He cannot be moved, and because He cannot be moved, we also cannot be moved. Now, I believe, once again, that the Old Testament prophets and coming on over to the New Testament speaks of these things when it talks about that which cannot be shaken in Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 22 it says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven," right? "And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Okay, that's quite a foundation, isn't it? That's what we're talking about, is that foundation. Now, again, it's not going to be removed. It's not going to be cracked. They're not going to have to bring in the house levelers or all of that kind of thing. They're not going to have to do any foundation repair on it, because it is forever. It is an eternal foundation. So here's what the writer says. "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice," he said, "then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." Now, what are those things that cannot be shaken? Well, it's those that are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And by the way, mentioned this earlier, those that keep saying such things as, well, you know, going to church, reading your Bible, taking the Lord's Supper, baptism, all those things, that they won't get you to heaven. Well, they may not get you to heaven, but you won't get there again without them. you're going to need something to stand upon. And those things are the only thing that's going to be there to stand upon. They're going to question your faith. This world system is going to question your faith, and God is again bringing it all about for the very express purpose of separating the wheat from the chaff. Now, the apostle says, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed. Why? Lest he fall. Get to be too high and mighty. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit. Pride goeth before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. So here we are, that he is not going to shake the earth only, but the heavens also. In other words, both heaven and earth. There's going to be nothing to stand upon. I sometimes wonder about that with these space explorations. I believe that's really in the back of their minds. Well, we're going to find another planet that we can go to when this one is destroyed. But forget about it, because God's going to not only shake the earth, but he's going to shake the heavens also. So there's going to be no hiding place. In Old Testament language, he's going to search with a candle. In other words, every dark place is going to be made light. There's no hiding from God. So, what is the answer to it? Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Someone to be reckoned with, right? So, let us fear, right? As the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 4, let us fear. The foundation. If they be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the answer is, if you're talking about repairing the foundations, the answer is nothing. But if you're talking about preparing yourself for this shaking, then there's plenty that you can do. You can go to church. It's still legal in this country to go to church. But even if it becomes illegal, what will you do? Will you need it? Yeah, more so than you do now. You can still read your Bible. You can still pray. You can still fellowship with the saints. May the Lord teach us. That those foundations that he's talking about are his own foundations.
And he will and is destroying those foundations in the hearts of all that are not his children. But on the other hand, the very same things that are destroying the foundations in the hearts and lives of the wicked is confirming that foundation in the hearts and lives of his people. Isn't that amazing? But that's the way our God works. And that's the way he saves. That if our gospel be hid, it is hid unto whom? Yeah, them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded their eyes, lest they should see and be healed. Yeah. Mystery upon mystery, right? Right. There is no. Yes, it is.
He said, "Deliver your feet upon this rock, I will be with
them." And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Right. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.